Water.
Privatization.
Electricity.
Privatization.
Healthcare.
Privatization.
Education.
Privatization.
What happens when corporations treat those public services as commodities to be bought and sold on the open market? And how are people in Canada and around the world protecting the public sphere and resisting corporate greed?
It's coming by leaps and bounds.
Thousands of people die because this economic model was imposed to war.
It is not sustainable, and we have an opportunity to stop it now.
You're listening to Conning the People, a five-part documentary series about privatization in Canada in an international context.
I'm Asad Ismi.
I'm Kristen Schwartz.
We'll be investigating the effects of privatization globally and locally on healthcare, education, electricity, and water.
Keep it locked for the next half hour as we'll be looking at electricity privatization in Canada, focusing on Ontario and Alberta. We'll also examine power privatization in California and Britain and the collapse of the infamous Enron Corporation. Stay tuned. The summer 2003 blackout in Ontario and the northeastern United States, which left 50 million people without electrical power, can be traced to deregulation and privatization of the electricity sector in both countries. Paul Kannert of the Ontario Electricity Coalition explains how.
The blackout occurred in Pennsylvania, Ohio, New York, and Ontario. That house of cards of deregulation fell down. The power didn't go off in Vermont or Quebec, which is still regulated and still public. Deregulation left us vulnerable in a number of areas. As everyone knows, electricity cannot be stored or stockpiled. Electricity is very easily manipulated. And in a deregulated market, or a for-profit market, they keep the safety supply margin very, very low, as close as they can to zero. What that does, it keeps prices and profits high. The second thing is, maintenance and new construction goes right out the window. That was the major contributing cause to that blackout. In those four jurisdictions in the last 10 years, they've laid off 160,000 highly skilled workers. 16,000 here in Ontario alone.
In 1998, Ontario's Conservative government passed the Electricity Competition Act, which mandated the privatization and deregulation of electricity in Ontario. The government split Ontario Hydro, the monopoly public electricity provider, into three private corporations owned by the province: Ontario Power Generation in charge of generation, Hydro One in charge of transmission and distribution, and the Ontario Electricity Financial Corporation. The Tories leased the Bruce Nuclear Power Plant, the largest in North America, to British Energy, a UK corporation, and tried to sell Hydro One to the private sector, but backed down in the face of public opposition. The Communications, Energy and Paper Workers Union and the Canadian Union of Public Employees sued the government in court and forced the Tories to postpone the sale of Hydro One. In 2002, the government opened up the provincial electricity market to private competition, but rising prices caused a public outcry and the Tories imposed a price cap.
In Ontario, the Conservatives moved to privatize power in spite of the fact that electricity privatization in California and Alberta had been a disaster, leading to rolling blackouts and skyrocketing power bills. Also, the collapse of Enron Corporation, the U.S. electricity trading giant, has shaken markets worldwide and shown the very corrupt nature of private control. Electricity deregulation could also eliminate thousands of jobs. 31 British Columbia companies have released a report that predicted 6,000 layoffs if power rates increase there. Even Ontario business is divided over power privatization. John Mayberry, the CEO of Defasco, a steel company, considers the Ontario government's plan not, quote, well thought out, unquote. It has been revealed that Enron, which filed for the largest bankruptcy in U.S. history, advised the Ontario government on its deregulation plans.
Myron Gordon is Professor of Finance Emeritus at the University of Toronto and Canada's leading expert on the topic of regulating electric power companies. In an article, he stated, "The privatization of Ontario's electric power industry is frightening. It shows ideological blindness, incompetence, or a complete disregard for the interests of the people of Ontario on the part of the Tory government and its business supporters. Billions of dollars in provincial assets are literally being given away."
Ontario Hydro
represented an investment of $38 billion by the people of Ontario in generation, transmission, and distribution. Ontario Hydro had $38 billion worth of assets and $38 billion worth of debt. The people who wanted privatization and deregulation screamed about the burden of this $38 billion in debt. They ignored the $38 billion in assets. And so what they proceeded to do was take the assets and write them down from $38 billion to $17 billion. They wiped $21 billion worth of assets off the books. What this made possible was giving the assets away.
The biggest asset given away by the Tories is the Bruce Generating Plant.
The scandal, the really terrible scandal, has been with the generation. Bruce, which is a big nuclear installation, the largest nuclear installation in North America. Its capacity is about 40% of our generating capacity. Bruce has 8 units. 4 of the units are down, 4 of the units are operating. The units that are operating are generating $500 million a year, $500 million a year in operating profit. They took Bruce and they wrote a lease with British Energy. British Energy pays the province nothing at all, just the cost of decommissioning.
Decommissioning means returning a nuclear plant to a natural state after it is closed.
It's a scandal of enormous proportions, but people don't understand it, so there hasn't been too much done about it. The initial investment was made by us, we the people. We borrowed probably something like $8 or $9 billion to build Bruce. The operating profit is to pay the interest and principal on the debt, you see. But instead, it's now going to British Energy. British Energy is near bankruptcy. The only profitable asset it has is the Bruce nuclear station. This is all in the financial press.
Many other arguments of economic efficiency also support a public electricity system.
Let me go back a little bit and make some general observations. There are certain activities which belong in the public sector. Certain activities belong in the private sector. We would not want all of our restaurants owned by the province. We wouldn't want all of our clothing made by the province. By the same token, there are certain things that are best provided in the public sector. Education is best provided in the public sector, police protection. Hydro is one of them. Mm-hmm. Now, even if the private sector is run well and it's regulated well, it's more efficient to have the enterprise electric power in the public sector. The basis for it is that here in Ontario, if it's privately owned, it's subject to a federal income tax. If it's owned by the province, it's free of income tax. So with public ownership, we didn't pay a federal income tax. And in Manitoba and in BC and in Quebec, all public ownership paid no federal income tax. In addition, the government borrows at a lower rate than private companies. So with public ownership, the interest rate is lower. Mm-hmm. The net result is you have a large investment to generate power. If it's privately owned, there has to be a 14% return. Mm-hmm. If it's publicly owned, the return to pay the interest on the debt need only be 7%. Right. So the big part of the cost falls in that category. So the basic phenomena is the following. Even if everything is decent and upright, mm-hmm. it's still more profitable to have provincial ownership. But you don't get rich earning a fair rate of return. You get rich ripping off the government. The other thing is, regardless of who owns it, we bear the risk. If a private company that makes clothing goes broke. It's the problem of the owners. Mm-hmm. If a privately owned electric power company goes broke, we have to step in and take care of it. Right now in England, the big nuclear power installation was privatized. Mm-hmm. The private owners just robbed the company, and then when they had a little difficulty, they started going broke. So the government had to come in and give them $1 billion, $2 billion, you see. Right. And so the risk is with us.
Paul Connard belongs to the Canadian Union of Public Employees, Local 1, representing 1,400 Toronto Hydro workers. He is a spokesperson for the Ontario Electricity Coalition.
All around the world, public power is cheaper than private power. In the United States, public power is 18% cheaper than private power. Why would we be any different? Manitoba's not selling their hydro system. Quebec is not selling their hydro system. They call it the crown jewels of Quebec. Why are they doing it here in Ontario? And the answer is greed. The answer is for their corporate friends, to make profits for a few people. That is one of the biggest transfers of wealth to the wealthy we've ever seen. Right now, the provincial Tories have received, as well as the Liberals, $1 million in donations from American Electric Power, British Energy, Brascan, a lot of other power companies. So they've cashed the check, and that's why they're hanging on to this for dear life. They can't go back. They politically can't go back from their masters. They are the paid servants of the less than 1% of people who are going to make billions of dollars.
Electricity deregulation and privatization have not been successful anywhere in the world.
Auckland, New Zealand in 1994-96, I believe, was out of power for 94 days because they didn't maintain the system. That was only 10% privatization.
Right.
It hasn't worked anywhere in the world, and nobody wants it here. Look at Argentina. Argentina was a very wealthy country. They actually called it the Canada of the South. Now, they privatized healthcare, education, water, hydro, roads, everything 10 years ago. What happened? We call it social cannibalism. It is not sustainable. It collapsed. We're on that same roadway here, and we have an opportunity to stop it now.
Most electricity in Alberta was provided by private companies, which were strictly regulated. These were integrated utilities like TransAlta Corporation. The Conservative government of Ralph Klein relaxed this regulation in 1995 with horrendous results. Prices shot up, brownouts were widespread, and unemployment increased. Electricity prices in Alberta tripled under deregulation, and the Klein government had to give $2 billion in rebates to customers. The province went from being one of the most inexpensive providers of electricity in the continent to the third most expensive after California and Hawaii. Peter Marsden is president of Canadian Union of Public Employees Local 38, representing workers at NMAX, Calgary's municipal electric company, which is a crown corporation.
It has not been privatized. There was a big debate around the city, and it was a key reason that our now mayor was elected, is that he ran on keeping the utility public, because there was a great deal of uncertainty, and bills had skyrocketed, and there were several issues about how negatively people have been impacted by the deregulation. It has destabilized a lot of jobs in Alberta.
TransAlta used to employ thousands of workers, but had to lay them off due to deregulation.
They were a huge multinational that was very active in the generation transmission You know, they had an office tower over here that was full, and, you know, it's virtually empty now. And, you know, you just have to say, what's going on here? You know, the whole reason for deregulation and privatization here was to provide a competitive forces to lower costs. Well, the costs are up higher than they were before deregulation. Let's say under a regulated market, you were paying about 3.5 cents a kilowatt. It went up to as much as 16, 18 cents a kilowatt. Then the government subsidized it back to, I believe, around 9 cents. With rebates, you know, it would be short on your bill is how much the government was paid on your behalf. It subsidized the corporation, so that's how it was going through. What it's done is it's created uncertainty, so there's a slowing in, let's say, generation, where there's a shortage of supply, so you suffer brownout, shutdowns, those sorts of things, you know. What deregulation has done is just added more overhead because you've got more complicated systems and more players, so you've got more hands to feed and more mouths to feed. It breeds uncertainty, and I think everybody's quite clear that the regulated integrated utility was a very effective delivery system, and what used to you know, be run by the integrated utilities has now been chopped up into these boards and bodies and companies that by contract are administering the market, and that's added you know, millions of dollars into costs because they all want to take their percentage. They have to recoup their costs, and see, they're all private companies. They also have to recoup a profit, and a lot of that money is going out of Alberta into other parts of the world, which you know, doesn't really help the local economy a whole bunch.
So,
not only has deregulation increased costs in Alberta, it has not even got government out of the electricity sector, as Ralph Klein intended to. The Irish Electrical Utility Board, a corporation owned by the Irish government, is now in charge of selling Alberta's electricity, and the profit it makes goes out of Canada.
They have a subsidiary that is a international consulting marketing of electricity technology and management company, and they were successful in obtaining the contract to run the power pool here in Alberta. It's a subsidiary of the Irish government. They've set up a wholly owned subsidiary that goes around the world and is now handling the marketing of electricity in Alberta. Well, you know, it's funny, Ralph says his government is getting out of the business, so he contracts another government to do it under contract. Doesn't make any sense at all. No, it doesn't. To make money for Ireland, I guess.
Large corporations have been the force behind Alberta's electricity deregulation.
It started in the mid-90s with the government saying that they wanted to move to a deregulated market. It was mainly, let's say, started by multinational petrochemical companies. Looking to be able to get preferred rates on electricity so that they could process gas and plastics and those sorts of things, and, you know, because they felt they weren't getting their fair share under a regulated integrated utility.
Ironically, the result of the Klein government's deregulation has been an electricity sector which today is dominated by two crown corporations, ENMAX and EPCOR, the City of Edmonton's utility. Today, control 80% of Alberta's electricity market.
With these corporations, they're also returning a dividend back to their shareholder, which is, in the case of ENMAX and EPCOR, the City of Calgary, the City of Edmonton. Uh-huh. And those dollars are being reinvested in the community to provide community services such as roads, streets, social services, libraries, those sorts of things, rather than being invested in other things around the world. That isn't what the government wants. So, you know, they've been talking about further restricting those companies.
Electricity privatization in Canada could be expanded by NAFTA. Marjorie Griffin Cohen is an economist and professor of political science and women's studies at Simon Fraser University.
NAFTA will certainly support the moves that are occurring now among various governments to privatize electricity. Once a province does begin to open its export markets and begins to allow private firms into the generation and distribution of electricity, that is when NAFTA kicks in. Then NAFTA gives these new private companies that are American, in our case, it gives them new rights, and it gives them quite extraordinary rights within the provinces and within the country. What happens through NAFTA is that it makes the existence of the public sector alongside a private sector very, very difficult to maintain, because the private, if you have, for example, an attempt, as is occurring in Ontario, to introduce private power into the system, the private producers can say, well, you still have some public generation. You haven't sold that to the private sector, so we can't really compete because you are still have a public monopoly. And so they can bring the power of NAFTA to bear. So a little bit of privatization basically isn't possible when you have something like NAFTA around, because it really is the kind of thin edge of the wedge which really does produce a great deal more privatization.
The biggest disaster in electricity deregulation has been California. Like Alberta, the electrical system in California was run by private companies, which was strictly regulated. Then came President George Bush Sr. According to Gregory Palast, an expert on deregulation, just before leaving office in 1992, Bush gave the power industry a goodbye gift: federal deregulation of electricity. It was a legacy he wanted to leave for his son. The gratitude of power companies, which responded by giving $16 million for the Republican campaign of 2000, seven times the sum they gave Democrats. The removal of regulation in California produced massive price increases and crippling large-scale blackouts for millions of people during 2000. The blackouts caused thousands of businesses to close and cut power from homes, hospitals, and schools. Prices leapt to $1,500 per megawatt hour from $40 per megawatt hour, which sent electricity bills skyrocketing, bankrupted two major utilities, and drove the state into debt as it spent billions of dollars buying electricity on the deregulated market. Mark Cooper is Director of Research at the Consumer Federation of America in Washington, D.C.
Electricity is like oxygen in the 21st century. It is a necessity. We will not and should not ration it by price so that people are strangled. And that's what happened in California for a few months. Maybe no one ever believed that the merchants would strangle a state, but they did. Mm-hmm. They didn't care when the lights went out. They only cared about making more money. And what has gone on in America is the deregulation of parts of the industry, an effort to deregulate. And California took that concept to its logical, or some of us believe, illogical conclusion.
Right.
California took the view that every electron should be traded in a spot market. You had a series of regulators who really didn't understand how to run a spot market, a series of corporations who knew how to run spot markets, particularly how to manipulate the markets, and the result was that the price of electricity went from in California from about $7 billion a year to over $30 billion. And obviously the subsequent meltdown restructuring has been repealed in California, and actually in all of the states in the West that had started restructuring and not finished it have gone back, have stopped.
Enron Corporation was the main trader of California's electricity. Enron was the seventh largest corporation in the United States and the biggest contributor to George W. Bush's 2000 election campaign. In 2001, Enron filed for the largest bankruptcy in United States history. In 2002, Timothy Belden, Enron's top trader, pleaded guilty to manipulating the California power market. Belden admitted to providing false information about how much electricity was available at any given time to state utilities. This would make power lines appear congested when in fact they were not, thus driving up demand and allowing Enron to charge an extra fee to relieve the congestion that wasn't there. Enron also exported power generated in California to other states and then sold it back to California at a big markup as electricity generated elsewhere. In this way, Belden increased Enron's revenue from $50 million in 1999 to $500 million in 2000 and $800 million in 2001. We scheduled energy that we did not have or did not intend to supply, Belden told a judge. I did it because I was trying to maximize profits for Enron.
Enron was trying to do in California what it tried to do every place, which was make as much money as it possibly could in the market by hook or by crook. See, Enron believes that everything is turned into a pure commodity, can and should be traded on a spot market basis. And that's what they pushed all over the country, all over the world.
In 2002, the California Utility Commission issued a report which found that energy companies had withheld power during blackouts. The state of California sued four large energy companies, Dynegy Incorporated, Myron Corporation, Reliant Energy Incorporated, and Williams Energy Marketing and Trading Company for $150 million in 2002, alleging that they broke contracts to provide emergency power to the state and instead sold it on the spot market thousands of times. This forced California to buy its emergency electricity from the costly spot market, paying a second time for the power. California is also seeking billions of dollars in refunds from generators for spot market purchases.
By and large, as a society, we do not allow people to sell body parts. We don't commoditize body parts. So we make a judgment about what can and cannot be sold as a pure commodity in the market. And maybe electricity is like that, too. We're willing to sell it, but we're not willing to commoditize it the way Enron did. And, you know, we do the same thing with a variety of commodities that we see as essential to our very existence.
We need to move it with the quickness. You are the witness of change at the counteract. We got to take the power back.
You've been listening to Conning the People, Privatization in Canada.
This series was written and researched by Asit Ismi.
Produced by Kristen Schwartz.
And executive producer Asit Ismi.
Narrated by Kristen Schwartz and Asit Ismi.
Funded by the Canadian Labour Congress, Canadian Union of Public Employees, Canadian Union of Postal Workers, Communications, Energy and Paper Workers, Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation, and the Ontario English Catholic Teachers Association.
Thanks also to CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, Christiana Clements for technical assistance,
and Wing Hung Si for sounds. Music credits for this segment, Money by Pink Floyd, and Take the Power Back by Rage Against the Machine.
For copies of this program, call 416-595-5068 or email news@ckln.fm.
Thank you for listening.